What's up, everybody? Welcome to SWAT MMA, that's Smoking Weed and Talking Mixed Martial Arts. My name is Jared. I'm here with Paul.
What up?
We're coming to you from Las Vegas, Nevada. On today's episode, we're going to be taking a look back at the fallout from UFC Boston. We're going to take a look ahead to the UFC Singapore card headlined by Ben Askren and Damian Maya. We're going to talk a little bit about the proposed Conor McGregor versus Frankie Edgar matchup. But before we get into that fun stuff, let's talk about our weed of the week.
Smoke weed every day.
Today's episode, we got two great strains. We got some Monster Cookies. We got some Jack Herrera. We also have some full spectrum hemp oil from Hemp Fusion. Just a nice mix of CBD and some terpenes in there. What are you smoking on right there, Paul?
I'm not even sure what you loaded. That's the Monster Cookies. That's with a little bit of keef over the top of it.
Some keef on top. Monster Cookies. This is a delicious indica. This is a it's Girl Scout cookies, as fucking you could guess with the name, crossed with Granddaddy Purple.
There we go.
Granddaddy Purple is...
You can tell, too.
Yeah, Granddaddy Purple is a real flavorful weed, man. You can taste that in here. Yeah, Granddaddy is Big Bud crossed with Purple Urkel. My buddy used to grow this in Colorado, man. Oh, yeah, that's really nice and colorful. I'm going to hit this. We got some Jack Herrera as well, which is a sativa. Jack is a mix of three. It's one of my... When it comes to sativas, Jack Paul's probably my fucking favorite, even over the Durban Poison and the Sour Diesel. But Jack is a blend of three. It's a Haze hybrid cross with Northern Lights number 5 with a Shiva Skunk cross in there as well. And you know what's good? Because they wouldn't fucking name it after the great Jack if it wasn't up to his standards. Goddamn. Dude, that keef always makes me cough, dude. That keef is a mix of like, I don't know, it's been a while since I took it out of my grinder. Probably 10 different weeds at this point.
Tom's in, yeah.
Yeah. How was your weekend, man? Did you do anything fun?
I saw the Joker. About you? Have you seen it yet?
Actually, I saw the Joker this weekend, too, on Friday.
Nice. What the fuck? You saw the Joker instead of the fights?
I did. I didn't know the fights were on Friday, man. I made plans, and I went, but I saw the replay later. But yeah, I went out and caught the movie.
What did you think?
Dude, it was fucking dope, man.
It was pretty good.
I liked every bit of that movie, from the cinematography to, I mean, obviously the acting. Yeah. Joaquin Phoenix is amazing.
That shit was so funny when he was like, oh, I forgot to clock out. He fucking smashed the fucking clock out thing. That shit's hilarious.
Here's this Jack in this one hitter right here. Not really one hitter, but. I also thought that, I'm kind of bummed that the focus was on this nonsense about there being like all this violence in the movie. Like Deadpool, far more violent. Really nothing like that. That weird political hype that was around it. I mean,
to be honest, there was a lot less violence than there's been in the last few big movies like that.
Yeah, like Avengers Endgame was more violent. Yeah. I mean, I'm just being real here. Like, I mean, minor spoiler alert here if you haven't seen it, but what is he kill like 5 people in the movie? I mean, I'm not saying that's not terrible. Joker. There's like 5 murders in it.
If that.
So I didn't quite get all that, but you want to talk about, you know, a good solid look at loneliness, isolation, mental health.
Yeah.
Like, it's a fucking dark movie. Don't take your kids unless you're ready to have a grown-up conversation.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and that's the thing, too. It's catching a lot of flack for that same reason. It's like, well, it's a rated R film, and it was made to be this way. Like, Joker is a dark character. You've ever...
Did they not read comics?
Yeah, it's like all the people that don't know the comic books are the people that are, like, have the, I guess, chance to be a critic and put out bullshit out there that it's been getting that it's just unwarranted, you know?
Completely. This film, in my opinion, should be celebrated. Not only is it like...
It's really good.
It's everything about it is good. It's a powerful movie. Like, I left that theater thinking like I'd seen something important. Like,
yeah, the only disappointing part of it all is that we'll never see a Batman and Joker movie.
No, that's a one and done.
It's too bad.
Which I get, in a way. Because it's a dark fucking movie, man. And it,
yeah,
I think it leaves a lot to think about when you
leave the theater. And also, that whole franchise is going through a shift right now, because you got the new Batman coming out with freaking Robert Pattinson as Batman. Lenny Kravitz's daughter is Catwoman.
And it's got Riddler and Penguin in it, and they can have a hard time making serious movies with those characters. And
they might not have the Penguin in it anymore, because it was supposed to be Jonah Hill, but he's walked away from the role. So
I just hope it comes out good, but it's definitely not going to be in the style of Joker. That's a very dark.
Yeah.
I know Todd Phillips wants to do more.
Well, he's going to. He's going to do four or five different origin stories for the DC comics.
He wants to do them under, he calls them Black Label, which I think might be a comic. I'm not big in the comics. Yeah. I don't know. But I know he was referring to it as, like, a Black Label DC, meaning it's just darker and grittier and not for the kiddies.
Yeah.
Which I'm down with, dude. If you're going to make movies like that. Like, with Joker, man, I felt like you could pretty much freeze any frame of that movie and, like, frame it, and it would be, like, an art piece you can hang on your wall.
Yeah,
like,
that's for all sure. It was crisp.
Everything was just fucking beautiful, man.
Yeah.
And it had that real, real slick
had 80s that, like, gritty, theme.
Early 80s, like, 81, 82 vibe going down.
Yep, like, old school, gritty New York, like,
fuck style. Yeah, man.
Well, it's Gotham City, but...
Yeah, we all know it's New York.
It's based on New York. Yeah.
And nothing cheesy in there.
It was well done.
It was very well done. Like, if Joaquin Phoenix doesn't get the Oscar, I mean, come on.
Well, the only issue is going to always be that it's a superhero movie.
Well, they gave one to Black Panther. Heath Ledger got one.
Yeah, that's true.
But it is it is violent. Don't get me wrong. This isn't something, like I said, you bring your kids to if you want to have a
fucking film,
serious conversation. There's some murder in it, but... It's an excellent film. I feel like cinema these days, it used to make you think. There used to be shit like this. Like, this is very reminiscent of Taxi Driver. You know, if you're old school, watch. I mean, that's a little bit before my time, but I've seen it, you know.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. I would definitely highly recommend it. I know we're not a fucking movie reviewing podcast, but goddamn, dude.
It's a good movie.
I don't see too many movies I feel like having a conversation about. And I tell you, when I got home from that movie, I immediately went to YouTube and, like, started watching reviews and opinion pieces on it, because I was just, it was so fucking good, man. I thought about
it was
that
really
shit for
good.
Like hours afterward.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Yeah, it kind of leaves you like, what the fuck?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, when I left the theater, I was just like, god damn. Like, Jesus, dude. Some shit just happened. And there's a handful of movies that made me do that. Like, Clint Eastwood's Unforgiven, the first time I saw that, I was like, what the fuck did I just see? And Juice back in the day. That's probably a little bit before your time.
Pretty good.
That's a dope movie. I saw
it's
that
a good
in theaters.
Movie. See, I've never seen any of these movies in theaters because I'm a lot younger, but I've seen them all.
Yeah.
I like The Godfather. That's a really good movie. Oh, it's like one of my favorite movies of all time.
Same here. We've seen the shit on the wall in my home here.
Yeah.
Fucking, I like the Marvel movies and all that. They're fun.
Yeah,
but this
no
is different.
Series.
There
was
like
a lot
serious
more serious
cinema.
Tone, yeah.
This was like somebody went out and was like, "I'm gonna make a movie that you're gonna think about and
talk
about and debate."
Yeah, and you know what it was? It was like, let's say, if the Dark Knight, if you cut everybody else out of the Dark Knight and you just followed the Joker through the Dark Knight, it was very, it was like a prequel to a Joker of what Heath Ledger's Joker became.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Especially with that ending, which let's not say it because there's probably, you know, we got a big audience here these days. I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But with that ending, with you know what happens, it was very reminiscent of Heath Ledger. So I thought that was fucking cool.
Absolutely.
And good flick, man.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I got high as fuck when I went to that, too.
Yeah,
me
too. It
was great.
Oh, it's pretty big, too. That's why I was kind of like, what the fuck?
Shoot.
It's good. Go see that shit.
Yeah,
for
real. But hey, man, let's shift into the fight. So we load up a little bit more of this fucking. I'm gonna load up a little more of this Jack here.
Yeah.
And let's talk about fucking the UFC Fight Night Boston card from this past event. And let's just start at the top because that's the fucking noise everybody's still talking about. And the ramifications of it, where we see Chris Weidman, former middleweight, 185-pound champ, move up a weight class to 205, fighting Dominic Reyes, undefeated, ranked number 4, and gets his fucking ass kicked in first round KO.
First punch was like literally looked like he fucking was just like, what the fuck?
That was the first time this has really happened. Now, Wyvern's lost fights, but he's never really gone out and got his ass kicked before.
Yeah.
Like,
he's been in it most
of the time. Of the fights that he's lost.
Like his last one. His last one, he was very well winning the all the rounds up to the end of the third and got KO'd.
Exactly.
But that's the issue. We're looking at Wyvern now, who's won one of his last five. And in those four fights he lost, he was knocked out every single time.
Oh, it's brutal. And he's 35 years old, 35 plus. It's not like he just turned 35.
He was at one point the best middleweight in the world, had shocked the world, and defeated the GOAT, and was somewhat dominant champion for a minute there, and was like around, in a lot of people's eyes, the pound-for-pound best in the world. But in my honest opinion now, I think it's time to hang it up. I think it's his time to go.
You know, how can you look at his last set of fights and not come to that conclusion? I mean,
man, I thought, here's my problem, is he just doesn't have the time. You know, like, you can go out there and get knocked out, but he just doesn't take enough time in between getting knocked out and fighting his next fight.
Yeah, dude, here's the reality. He was 13-0. And now he's 14-5, and all five are KOs.
Yeah.
But think about that shift. 13-0, champ, three defenses of the title.
Yep.
Takes out Anderson, not once, twice. Puts that fucking controversy to rest. Beats Machida.
Who else he beat?
He, Vitor. Anderson.
Yep.
And then Loyota defends against Vitor, and then loses to Rockhold, which starts this streak where he goes from 13-0 to 14-5.
Well, here's the problem.
One win over Gastelum, which, let's be honest, he almost got knocked the fuck out in that fight, too.
Yeah, he did. Well, and here's the thing. In the Yoel Romero fight, too, I think that fight took years off his life.
Yeah, that was the fight immediately after Rockhold, where which was the flying knee.
He flying knee knocked him out, cracked him open.
And then got on top of him and fucking hammered him.
Well, he didn't really even hammer him that much either. He was already fucking knocked out.
Yeah,
he was just bleeding everywhere.
Yeah, I remember watching that and being worried.
Everywhere. It was like one of the most vicious flying knee knockouts I've seen. Because it was one of those ones where he was shooting in. And Noel is just so explosive. He just cracked his skull.
I forgot how severe that was. I remember
that was
watching
like,
that.
Remember,
Chris
like,
didn't look right.
Didn't
he
look right.
Like he didn't know where.
Remember, he didn't even stand for the call at the end, and then it was just like savagery.
Yeah, it wasn't like
that. Was right after Michael Bisping won the title too. Remember, he called Michael Bisping out.
Yeah, it wasn't like, you know, everybody doesn't look right after they get knocked out. But
no,
I mean,
but it was like
he didn't look
it was
right.
Like, oh my
compared
god!
Compared to how everybody else looks after getting KO'd,
exactly.
Like, he looked like shit was.
He looked
fucked
lost.
Up.
Yeah.
I felt bad. I remember being worried.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
So then you go into that, and then Gegard Mousasi was teeing off on him, and then Wyvern pretty much said he couldn't go anymore. He was so dazed in that fight, he literally told the ref, he's like, I'm done, and lost the fight.
Then he comes in and he subs Kelvin Gastelum.
In a fight, once, like we said, in the first round, he was rocked. He was almost out.
He won that fight because he managed to get Kelvin down and get on top of him, and he's way bigger. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm a little bit taller than Kelvin, for God's sake. And Wyvern, Kelvin ain't never fighting at 205, I'll tell you that. No, like, that shit will never fucking happen. So, there's a significant advantage he had on the ground.
Yeah.
So we could have been looking at six KOs, honestly.
Honestly, yeah.
And I like Chris Wyvern. I can't say he shouldn't. I can't watch him fight again. I don't want this dude to get knocked out. And then
he's got
Dominic
kids,
Reyes,
man. He's got a family. He's got.
Always seemed like a smart guy.
Yeah, could definitely go into the role of like UFC Tonight or something like that. He's good on the camera. Like I just hope he kind of steps.
Yeah, and he's
away
not
from
young. It's not like he's 29. He's 35.
Yeah, and he's done everything he's gonna do in the sport. You know, this was his chance to maybe go after another title, and if he were to win this fight, we maybe would be speaking in a different tone about him. But honestly, after how he lost, he doesn't belong at 205.
No, he's not.
And at 185, I don't know who he fights at 185. He's in limbo. You know, he's kind of where Luke Rockhold is at. Him and Luke Rockhold, they fought, and then they both had very similar career trajectories.
Yeah, sadly.
And honestly, in my personal opinion, I obviously wouldn't. It's not my place to judge, but in my personal opinion, I think both of them need to hang it up.
Yeah, well, Rockhold just came out.
They have so much more going for him.
Said he's not gonna. He has no interest in fighting. He's not retired, but he has no interest in fighting at all.
And, yeah,
that's that.
As he should.
For sure, dude. I don't like seeing people get these blows like that. Uh-huh. I mean, Chris Weidman. It's like when it came time for Chuck to go. I don't want to see Chuck fight again either, because I don't want to see someone literally fucking lose their life.
Yeah, no.
Or lose years off their life, fucking brain cells. It's cool, man.
Yeah. Do it now before
you're a fucking world champion, dude.
Yeah,
you took a fucking Anderson Silva, bro.
Yeah,
and then defended. Like, yeah, you're good.
You're good. Yeah. So yeah, on the other side though, now we got Dominic Reyes, who's calling for John Jones, and in all reality, I think that's who he's gonna get next.
Making a statement like that against a former champ, even though he's a bit outsized, yeah, I would say.
I think Dominic, unless in a couple weeks from now, Johnny Walker goes out and just fucking sleeps Corey Anderson with something crazy or just like dominates him, I just don't see how we could have, it's either or, it's Dominic Reyes or Johnny Walker next. Those are the only two.
Yeah, I mean, well, like, look at Jared Cannonier right now, who's doing pretty well and people are speaking pretty highly of, right? Well,
yeah.
He got beat. Yeah. By Dominic Reyes. TKO'd him.
Yeah.
He beat OSP. OSP is still, like, he may not be, you know, top five, maybe even not top 10, but he's still a very dangerous fucking fighter.
Yeah, absolutely.
He can fuck you up. He's a good test.
And then he beat fucking Volkan Ozdemir.
He beats Ozdemir in a split decision. he gets the win.
Yeah.
No matter how controversial that split decision might have been, it doesn't matter. Then he comes out and he just fucking murks
Weidman. Yeah.
So
he's undefeated still.
He's undefeated. He's 12-0. He's got seven knockouts, dude.
He's next.
Next.
Is he ready? Is the question.
No. Is he going to beat John Jones? Not unless John does some stupid shit. I mean, anybody can beat John if John's an idiot in the fight, but he's rarely that. So.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's beating John anytime soon.
Me neither. If John keeps his head together in a fight and fights smart, he's gonna. Even if he just keeps cranking out decisions, kind of like GSP did after the Sarah
KO. He could.
You know, he's just going to keep winning. He just has to be smart about it.
Dominic does not want to go to the ground with Jones, tell you that.
No.
I could see Jones possibly tapping him.
I could see that, too.
But I think that fight's next. That's got to be next at this point.
I think they should announce it pretty soon, actually, and get some momentum going for Jones.
You think with a winner, with the Walker-Corey Anderson fight still on the horizon, do you think they make the decision before that fight happens, or they wait out and see who wins that fight as well?
In my opinion, I think the move would be to make it now before. Because then you've got a contender lined up after.
Yeah.
Keith on there, fucking me up.
But yeah,
That's how I would play it. I'd say give it to Reyes now, and then Johnny Walker he gets that win right there. Well, then there you go. There's your next contender after that.
That's true. Yeah, you don't want them to kill each other off.
No, the light heavyweight needs them.
Yeah.
They need multiples right now. And you hope during that time someone else raises their fucking head, you know?
Yep.
Because now the Weidman, for a second it looked like it was going to be pretty sick for a minute because we had Rockhold and Weidman coming up. It's like, oh shit.
Yeah, but you still got Jan.
Now we're like.
Yeah, but we also can't forget you also got Jan Blachowicz and Jacare Souza coming up here too. So that's another big fight where two guys. Jan's like been low-key having a fucking hell of a run.
Dude. You can't sleep on him in that fight. He could
because like
knock
his
that,
kryptonite was
out,
his kryptonite was Gustafson, and Gustafson's out of the picture now.
Mm-hmm.
So, if who's to say Jan doesn't just beat everybody else? Because if you look at that division, the only other person who beat him was Thiago. Thiago and Gustafsson. So, with Thiago out for a bit, I could see Jan getting in there. Yeah, see, he was on a win streak before Thiago. He had won four in a row.
Thiago wins over Devin Clark. Again, the aforementioned Jared Cannonier, Jimmy Manoa, Nikita Krylov. Then he lost to Santos, and he comes back and sleeps fucking Rockhold.
Yeah, and he looked really good physically in that
fight. Yeah, he did. And he's a lot bigger than Jacare. He could come out and sleep Jacare.
But then if Jacare on the other side comes out and puts him away, that puts Jacare right into that mix as well.
That it does, because Jan's a legit fighter. So he's, yeah. What, 28-8? He's 6'2". How tall is Jacare? He's not that fucking tall.
I don't think he's
But then tall. Weidman's 6'2 as well. I mean, he's the height of Weidman, but he's hella thick. So
I'm curious to see what Jacare looks like when he gets in there.
Yeah, me too. When's that fight? I was wondering how much weight he fucking cut.
Jacare?
I don't know when that next fight is. I don't have a date on it offhand.
Shit. But either way, that's going to be... Those are the only people that could really get possibly in Dominic Reyes' way if they don't book it right away.
Like, everybody's been, you know, saying Jones ain't getting a fight. There's been a little talk about why he's not being booked. Fucking Chael's, I don't know who is it, Luke Thomas is putting out like these big lists of all the supposed big fights that Jones has missed out on now.
Yeah.
Like, my point being, it's time for a fight announcement for Jones, even if it's 4 months away.
He never really missed out on any of them, though, because a lot of, if you think about it, like the Cormier thing, he can't control that.
Oh, I don't think he missed out on that shit.
Yeah.
And they said he missed out on the Stipe fight and the Lesnar fight.
How is he out on the Stipe fight? He can still fight Stipe.
Yeah. He was just talking shit on Twitter the other day about possibly waiting for the DC Stipe winner and saying fuck the division because nobody's really that good.
Yeah.
But I think that's just talk. He's not going to do that.
Well, here's the thing, man, is like people can talk all the shit they want, but like he's just laying a ridiculous amount of like people down over the years in the UFC. He literally is basically undefeated. And
he's undefeated.
Never really been tested.
He may have a loss on his record, but it's all bullshit.
Yeah. He's a loss and a no contest, but both those are him fucking destroying both him, people.
Yeah, completely destroying people. Exactly.
Yeah.
So
when you look at it, it's like people can be like, oh, those are just personal beefs. Like at the end of the day, him and Chael don't like each other based on other shit in the past. Same thing with Luke Thomas. Luke Thomas talked shit about him on the MMA beat, and he called him out on it back in, I think, 2011. And since then, they've had beef.
And John's ghosted him in press conferences and shit. So I'm not surprised at the list. But you need to miss out on the Brock fight because Brock's not coming to the UFC. Yeah. ESPN killed that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they can all say what they want. That's why.
The Middle East killed it. Brock makes too much money doing matches over there. Mm-hmm. Why do you think Tyson Fury's doing a match over there? Why do you think all these guys are going over there to Kane? Why do you think all those fools are going over there? Because those people are their travel and labor, or what is it, the travel board or whatever, the people that bring all the different shows to venues, whether it's concerts, WWE,
tourism board,
yeah, whatever it's called, they pay a ridiculous amount to the WWE to come out and have these events out there.
Yeah.
So you got to think they're cutting a slice off that and giving some to Brock, Kane, and Tyson Fury and all that. It just makes too much sense for them to hand out that kind of money because it just, you know what I mean? They're just gaining so much money off that. And now the UFC is going through a similar thing too. Like now they're in Abu Dhabi for the next four more years after that, and they're getting paid a similar amount that the WWE is getting paid. Yeah. But they're not. The difference is the UFC is not kicking the money that the down to the fighters. WWE's
paying a hell of a lot.
That's why you're seeing all these random UFC guys pop up at WWE events. What's his name? Colby says he wants to win the title and then go to WWE. So it's like all these different. Yeah, there's so much more money in other places. It's causing these weird shifts in the sport. I wouldn't be surprised if we were to see Daniel Cormier in WWE one day. After a Stipe fight. Wouldn't be surprised at all. He's immersed in that culture of that organization already. So there's tons of guys you're going to see going over there and doing shit like that just for the money.
Dude, it's no coincidence that this this Kane versus Brock WWE shit went down right after the deal fell through with Brock fighting Cormier.
Yeah, absolutely.
I could guarantee you that was in the works.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, it maybe, you know, it was at least being talked about.
What, a rematch with Brock and Kane in UFC?
No, in fucking the WWE one.
Oh, yeah.
You're saying,
yeah,
look, in 3 months I can fight Kane in a fake fight.
Oh, make yeah.
Bank and probably kick his ass because they're going to do multiple fights and Brock has to win the first one for there to be a three. You know what I'm saying? If Kane comes in and beats Brock
after kicking his ass in the UFC,
then it's like, well, okay, then the whole golden
it would have to be, dead. Yeah.
Like, Brock has to win. That's my opinion. I don't fucking watch wrestling.
Or it ends in, like, a DQ or something. Yeah, that's how it happens in WWE. Yeah. In WWE, if it, like, it's usually, like, ends in some controversy where the match never ends.
And then it's a DQ.
Or, like, Brock gets his ass kicked and he's just, like, doesn't like it. So he just walks away from the ring and everyone's just like, whoa, he walked away. And it's like, you know what I mean? Like, some shit like that.
But, yeah, I mean,
it's like, so these aren't...
These aren't John Jones' fault, circling back to that. But with the contenders, getting back on track here. Went off a little tangent there, but
yeah.
With the contenders, I think they'll book the Reyes fight and then they'll wait for the winner of the Johnny Walker and then hope they have some shit with the you know, the Jan Blachowicz and...
Yeah, all these guys are possibly having Jones next, but I think Dominic just put his flag in the sand and was just like, all right, this is what I got. Let's see what everyone else has, in my personal opinion. I don't know if they do that. They might just jump right ahead and go ahead and book Dominic versus Jones. But I also think that they have some other options on the table that may be more interesting, you know? Because now John Jones and Corey Anderson have had a little bit of back and forth. John Jones and Johnny Walker have had back and forth. So it's like, you know, we'll see who really earns it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we'll see what's up. Well, let's bounce out of this this main event here. And we had the co-main on that Boston card.
Long time coming.
Yair Rodriguez, Jeremy Stephens.
Run it back.
For the Mexico card, a five-rounder down to a three-rounder was my only disappointment with that fight. Otherwise, it was pretty good. Yair gets the decision. He won the first two rounds, although he started losing at the end of the second round. And then Stephens put it all over him in the third, but it wasn't enough to even it out. Got fight of the night honors. I wish it would have been five. It was so good. And, yeah, that's about all I have to say about that. The shit was great, man. If you fucking have a chance to watch that fight, people, you should.
And to be honest, the whole thing is I don't think Yair was ready for how tough Jeremy was going to be in there. Because Jeremy just went in there, and Yair put it on him in the first two rounds. Like, in the first round especially, it was like, wasn't that he was really beating Jeremy down, but he was just scoring with every strike he threw. You know what I mean? He was throwing, when he wouldn't throw one kick, he'd throw four kicks. Three would hit him in the hand, but then one would hit him in the body. And in the judges' eyes, they're just seeing one guy get kicked four times. Doesn't matter how many got clean, but he's got kicked four times and really just stood there and ate him. And then a guy who's coming forward and just kind of, Jeremy just kind of was throwing the straight, trying to throw the big punches in the first round. And
he should have used both more wrestling guys, like he did in the third, but
honestly, you know, both guys though, you could tell, whatever, especially in that first round, both guys were just trying to go and knock each other's head off. There was a lot of animosity before the fight, and I'm sure there was a lot of shit talk probably in the fight, and both guys were just going after each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, made for a great fight.
Absolutely.
Really action-packed. Well, Yair's got fucking sick moves.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. No matter how you like him, like personally, I know a lot, he's been kind of under fire for his personal, and like,
whatever,
you
dude,
know,
he's a
promotion.
Cage,
he's good. He's a good fighter.
He's
man.
Coming across like kind of a prick in real life, but it doesn't matter. Everybody's,
doesn't matter. Yeah.
Whatever,
at the end of the day, whatever. If you
like
win
that,
fights and you put on performances like that, kind of masks being a dickhead.
I really don't think Stevens, even though he takes the L here, I don't think he loses too much shine because of the way the fight ended. Like,
well, I think Jeremy's kind of always been a benchmarker for a lot of these younger guys who come in, and it's kind of, it's unfortunate because he's a little bit on the back end of his career.
It is.
But it's the reality of it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
he's still got a lot of fight left.
He's got fight left in him.
Still.
But
like, he gave you a
year. I feel like he's going to constantly get these kind of fights.
Probably.
Like, you know, he's going to get the Calvin Kattars. He's going to get the fucking, you know, the guys who are a little bit younger in the division, you know,
yeah,
that are coming up.
That's how it goes. So he starts getting slept, and then, you know.
Yep. And then
he's losing a few here, but he's losing them very competitively.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and he's always fun to watch, man. Yeah. I love watching Jeremy Stephens. I'd like to see him go to fucking BKFC. Oh, but then I suppose there's a bit of controversy. I hate talking about this guy, but certainly not trying to give him any shine. That was a monster hit of weed, my guy. I'll let Paul recover for a minute here. I can't see you through this cloud.
I couldn't see you anyways.
I was saying, the next fight we wanted to talk about is going to be the Greg Hardy fight, which I hate giving this fucking guy shine. We're not giving him shine by talking about him, but I hate even talking about him because I can't stand his fucking ass. However, there's a lot of controversy going on with this fight, mainly because in a fight which he got, a decision and a pretty lackluster one at that, but in between the second and third rounds, he asks for and then is given a fucking inhaler, which he hits twice, and then goes out and fights in the third round, which sees the fight, get overturned to a no contest with a matter of an hour after the fight was over. I mean, the announcers on air were freaking out. You know,
yeah.
Jeff Nowitzki came on and said some shit. Then Mark Ratner came on and said the opposite. Mark Ratner said it was a clear violation. It's going to be a no contest.
Damn. Why'd they even continue the third round then?
I think because everybody was so shocked. I mean, because, you know, the way it went down, Hardy asks for his inhaler, and then they turn around and ask a guy in the commission who's in the octagon. And let's just be honest here. We're not trying to talk shit about these people, but it's the Massachusetts Fight Commission.
Yeah. They're a huge part of this, though. They're a big blame in
this
situation.
Well, the guy says, the commissioner asks, is it medical? Because this is all on tape. You can hear it. He says, is it a medical use? And then Hardy says some shit that's not true. He says, yep, it's USADA approved, which it was USADA declared. It wasn't USADA approved. He declared it on a form.
Yeah.
They didn't say, yeah, you can use it in between fucking rounds. And the guy goes, okay.
Here's the thing.
And then his corner, Dean Thomas, whips it out of his pocket.
Yeah.
And says, here you go. And he goes, poof, poof.
Well, I think most of this, the blame here has got to be on the commission and Dean Thomas. Dean Thomas should know that he's been around the game forever.
Dude, he's a very smart
guy. I know everybody said this, and I don't want to go into it, go too hard on him, but come on, dude. You've been around the block. You should have known it. But the biggest thing is the guy who's the commissioner in the octagon is like, you should know that as well. Like, come on. This is your job. You should know that is. It doesn't matter. You shouldn't even have to question. Hey, is that
clear performance enhancing drug?
Here's the thing, though.
It's not on the level of steroids. But
if you are a commissioner in the octagon, you shouldn't even be asking, is it medically approved? You should be like, no, that is. You cannot use that.
Of course, you can't use an inhaler between rounds.
Like, I don't. And that's the thing, though. It's like that goes beyond. This is just a bad commission at the end of the day, because you got to think about it. It's not like, oh, maybe because it's just because MMA is a newer sport. It's like, no, you can't do that in boxing either. You can't just be puffing on an inhaler in boxing. So why would you be?
You can't do that in fight sports. This literally meets the definition of performance
enhancing
drug. It opens up the airwaves.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like Hardy's come out and said, oh, I have asthma. This makes me just equal to you, which. I mean, I'm going to be honest here. This is how many fights has he had in the fucking UFC now?
Yeah. Well,
and where have we seen him do this every fight? No. We know all about his asthma and his inhaler use exemption.
And if that's the case, if he can't fight that like that, dude, then he can't fight in the UFC because he'll never be able to fight for a title.
Exactly. You can't do that kind of shit in fucking rounds. Like, you can't. That's why I believe it's bullshit, because we wouldn't have seen it now. We had three fights on the, or two, was it two or three fights on the Contender Series? We didn't see him puffing on an inhaler then.
Yeah. He's never made it. Here's the thing. He never made it out of the first round in the Contender Series. The first time he ever made it out of the first round was in the UFC.
Yeah, this was the second one now, I do believe. Yeah. But, and yeah, his corner should definitely know that, yeah, you can't take put an inhaler in your pocket and bring in the octagon.
Yeah.
In most of these states, it's water only. Some of them allow Gatorade, but pretty much it's fucking water only. And this is an instance where I disagree with Dana White. He was like, I don't know what anybody in that fucking corner was thinking.
Yeah.
These are experienced people that know. And I'm sorry. It's ultimately not that big of a deal. You know,
yeah,
it's a no
I mean, the performance is
a
performance.
You
look like an idiot.
Lackluster anyways.
But definitely moves him up the next rung as a fighter in that
division. He's not going to stop his progression at all. He's still going to get the same fight he was going to get either way.
What's crazy is now he's fucking in dangerous waters, dude. He's getting up there now.
Well, somebody needs a lot. For me, in my opinion here, someone needs to come along and kick his fucking ass, please. For the love of God.
I hate how people were trying to discredit his opponent, though. His opponent was a very good fighter. You could tell. He just literally, I don't know, it was weird.
Look, Hardy has some skills. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to cut off a ring and an opponent. But I'm going to just also say I don't think that comes from fighting. It's likely transference from his NFL days. I mean, it's pretty similar. You're dealing
He was very good at getting out of the way.
Weight shifting and moving and cutting off the field, et cetera, et cetera. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
So, I don't know.
But he's different from other football players in the past, though, because we've seen other guys like Schaub and Matt Mitrione and people like that. Like, a lot of them tend to, when they use their football, like, they used to take people down a lot, you know? Like,
yeah, rush in with a takedown.
Yeah, or tackle people pretty much. It's like he's just standing and banging. I know Mitrione does strike a little bit, but, like, in the past, if his striking's not working, he goes to grappling. When Hardy's striking's not working, he doesn't go to grappling. He just keeps striking.
Yeah, he can only do that against
the shitty guys.
Yeah, mid-tier at best.
I don't know. I'd be willing to watch him in Black Beast. He was calling him out. Black Beast has called him out. Fuck it. If you really want to see how good he is, put him in there with the Lions.
Black Beast has often said he likes to beat up on woman beaters. So, be an interesting
and
press.
He keeps calling him out.
I don't know. What's up with him with Derek Lewis? Is he is he injured? Is he recovering?
He's recovered. Remember, he had
knee surgery, right?
Yeah, he was recovering. So, I think.
Been fighting on that bum knee for like
I think
3
he said
years
he was,
or some shit he said.
Yeah, he said he was cleared to fight in December. I just think they didn't end up getting a fight for him. You know, because the UFC right now is pretty much, the way that they've been doing their cards, like these last 3 cards are going to be crazy. They're all like 3 title fights, like nuts.
Yeah, because the flip side of that is we get some pretty weak ones here lately. I mean, let's be honest, this last card wasn't the greatest.
Yeah.
The few before it. I mean, some of these fights at the top are okay. The one next week is
it's pretty rough. It's okay. Well, honestly, though, there is still a couple people on this main card. I thought there was some good storylines throughout.
Yeah, let's move on past the fucking Greg Hardy nonsense. Who you want to talk about? How about that?
How about Macy Barber?
Yeah, how about that Macy Barber?
Crazy good. She
beat the shit out of it.
She's putting herself in some prime.
Gillian Robertson? I'm sorry if I'm butchering her name. I can't remember right
she
now.
She fucked her up.
I had picked her to win, too. I thought she'd be a little bit too much for Macy Barber right now.
Macy Barber is the truth.
Yeah, she's legit.
I'm putting all my money on her.
For what? She's winning her next fight?
Yep.
Depends on who she's fighting. Who you think
well, she called Paige Van Zandt out. Well,
she'd
I think she
beat
could
up
fuck
Paige.
Paige
is, I don't know.
And then I think she's in a prime spot to possibly get a chance at Shevchenko in her next 3 fights.
She's getting murked by Shevchenko. Slaughtered.
I think she gives her the best fight in the division as of right now.
I would say she needs more time.
If they fought tomorrow, she fights her better than anybody in the division right now. At 125.
I don't know. I think she'd come in and try to treat her like she just did in this last fight and
bully her. That'd be interesting to see because
she's too wild. Shevchenko's a technician.
I know. That's the only thing we haven't seen, though. Everybody respects
the future.
Here's the thing, though.
They should wait.
I'm not saying
forever.
Her next fight. I'm just saying, as of right now, she is like the contender. She still needs time, but she is the person that's going to give her the best fight in this division. She's going to be
time,
the one.
In time, she maybe beat her. But she's, what is
here's
she, 7-0?
Here's the thing.
I'm not knocking her. I think she's fucking great.
Her style to go in there and to just bully ball her way in and just, you know, just beat people down, that's how you have to fight Shevchenko. That's how you have to fight her. That's how Amanda Nunes fought her.
If you're Amanda Nunes who fights at 145.
Yeah, but here.
Who's the only fighter that's that much bigger than Shevchenko.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Shevchenko is a great technical striker, but when you make it dirty and you make it a little just, you know, just gritty, I just want to see her in that mode with someone else other than Amanda. Because I'm not saying right now Macy Barber would do that to her, but if she gets seasoned in all the other places and just gets in there as a complete fighter, but still that grit to go and put it on her, if she goes and tries, I'd be very curious to see that fight. I'd like to see her fight Paige next. I'd like to see her fight maybe like Joanne Calderwood or someone like that. Someone tough.
Now, there you go. Let's see a couple of those fights first.
I'm saying in like two or three fights, she could fight Shevchenko after that. But I'm saying as of right now, she's the one. She's the one. Mark my words.
She's good. She's got some star quality too.
She does. She loves shit talking. She said she wants to be the youngest UFC champion ever, which is always good. You always want to hear that.
Fuck yeah. No, I like it. But
she only has about
fan.
Nine
don't
more months
wrong.
To do that.
I'm a fan. I just don't want to see her fight Shevchenko anytime for at least a year, personally. And I don't know if the division will allow for that. I get it.
That's what I'm saying. It's a little shallow. That's why I think all she really needs is she'd piece up Paige really quick, and then she'd probably get the fight with Shevchenko.
I think she'd fuck up Paige. Yeah. I like Paige.
Yeah, I like Paige a lot. But
I don't know how serious Paige is about the martial arts thing. Well, and I'm not saying that's bad.
It's not even that she's not serious about it. It's just she's had so much time off, you know? It's hard to... And she only has a fight left on her contract. So how in is she... Like, and her husband's over in Bellator. Who's to say she doesn't want to go over to Bellator, make a little bit more money? She'd have a lot more sponsors, all that shit. So who knows? You know what I mean? They're going to let her fight her contract out, which is crazy.
That is crazy.
What are you looking at?
Well, I mean, I think that probably wraps up the Barber fight, right?
Yeah.
Not much more to say about it after
that. My fucking boy Joe Lozon with the comeback victory
he fucked that
on Friday night, dude. That was intense.
Did it in Boston, too, which is basically his home.
He had that fucking... He literally, like... That was kind of like a wrestling movie used to fucking... the way he did it, like pulling his shoulder back, is like legal like that, but pretty much he like put the legs in and then got a reverse half and cranked it and tried to rip his fucking shoulder out of socket, dude. That shit was intense.
That was intense.
And he was fucking piecing him in the face as he was doing it. He looked so fucking good. He fucking dropped him at the first 1-2 he hit him with. Literally just came out, dropped
it's
him
like
real
Joe
quick.
Joe Lozon from The Ultimate Fighter came out. Whoops,
for real.
Ass.
For real. Joe Lozon's had a lot of ups and downs in his career, but last night was, if that was, or not last night, but Friday night, if that was his last time we see him, that'd be the way to go out for sure.
Well, that's what I want to talk about with this guy, is from what I understand, I haven't heard anything from him that he wants to retire whatsoever. But Dana comes out after the fight and says he's going to have a talk with Joe and convince him to retire.
Why?
Yeah, that's all. He says this in his fucking post-fight media scrum. And I just, that makes me go, what the fuck? So wait a minute. Just wait a goddamn minute here. Because I know that, okay, he had lost three in a row after this. He lost a split decision or a majority decision to Stevie Ray. He got TKO'd by Clay Guida. It was a good fight. Then that Gershemeyer dude from The Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah.
Kind of fucked him up with the corner. And he had a corner stoppage.
Yeah.
Which, that looked kind of bad.
Yeah.
But he was cut up mainly, if I remember that correctly.
Yeah.
And he comes out here and he pieces up Pierce. And then...
Well, I think he
so
is.
That's worthy of Dana, but my point being, that's worthy of the president of the company coming out and publicly stating he's going to convince Joe to retire. But when it comes to fucking, say, BJ Penn... On a near decade-long losing streak,
I think,
8 fights in a row, he's like, oh, well, he texts me and wants fight, so what do I just give him to him? What am I supposed to do?
Well, no, I think because of that...
What is this fucking guy?
I think because of what happened with BJ, I think Dana's trying to rid the UFC now of those guys from those early tough seasons, because now they're all older and they're all losing. So I just don't think... Dana's trying to hold on to any of them anymore. Look, you got most of them are on, like, contract fights. I think he's letting them all go.
Yeah, Lozen's 35. I mean, he's not going to contend for a title anytime soon. He's also not getting brutally KO'd. Like, yeah, he's not.
No.
I'd like to see him in Bellator, too. I don't know. I don't understand Dana White, which is obviously that's Dana,
it's Dana White man, dude.
For you. And I get it. I'm not fucking naive here. But I'm just saying, like, it's just such a dramatic difference from something that was just like 2 months ago. You're telling us how, here's another fucking BJ Penn fiasco fucking fight you're trying to shove down our throats. It only gets canceled because BJ goes out and publicly gets in fucking street fights and gets swept.
Gets KO'd.
Goddamn Instagram joke now. And I mean, that's a whole nother story, but that's the only reason that fight got canceled, because he was about to get fucking fucked up again.
Yeah.
But now Joe comes out and gets a good win, and then Dana's coming out and just being like, oh, I'm going to convince him to retire. I'm going to convince him to retire. I don't understand the mentality.
And we'll see if that happens.
Well, you'll let BJ Penn make a fucking embarrassment out of himself, a fucking legend. I'm sorry, BJ Penn was a legend. Joe Lozon's a great fighter, but he's not a legend.
Yeah.
He's never won anything in the UFC major.
Nothing serious.
He's been highly entertaining, tons of Fight of the Night awards, and I love the guy. But you're not BJ Penn in his fucking height. You're not. And he just lets BJ embarrass the shit out of himself.
Yep. It's crazy.
And I realize some of that's on BJ. It's on BJ's corner. It's on BJ's friends. It's on BJ's fucking goddamn family. It's on all of them. But, I mean, I don't understand it. I'm like, what the hell? Why wouldn't you do that for other... Maybe you're right. Maybe he's trying to turn a new leaf. I just think it's Dana fucking White. He does whatever the fuck he wants. But...
Yeah. I don't know if he lets. Even if he lets Joe Lozon go, I don't think he retires. That's the thing.
I haven't heard anything from him saying he wants to retire, and he has the fights he's been losing.
Yeah,
I mean, I wasn't like, oh my god, there goes brain cells because he's sleeping.
Yeah, no,
that's a different story. When people start getting slept, like Weidman, it's not like Weidman's just losing fights. Like, he's losing a bunch of decisions. We wouldn't be sitting here saying, "Oh, Weidman needs to fucking go." It's the manner of the loss. You're getting.
And don't get me wrong, Joe Lozon's had his times he's been slept too, but like just not recently very often. It's been more, I don't know.
I mean, he's losing on TKOs and corner stoppages with some nasty cuts and stuff because he's just tough as fuck and he'll keep going.
Yeah. But here's the thing, he's like win-loss. He doesn't have very many losing streaks.
He got KO'd by Anthony Pettis.
Yeah.
Back in 2012.
Yeah, that shit happens there.
Yeah. He's had TKO, a doctor stoppage, a TKO, Ally Quinta TKO'd him. But he wasn't, he's not getting slept. And I just feel there's a difference there, you know.
Yeah, but whatever. For sure. But here's the thing, he wins and loses. BJ Penn lost like 7 in a row, 8 in a row. That's the thing. Like, Joe wins fights. It's not like he's just getting outclassed by anybody. He just loses some fights, he wins some fights. Some people are just like that in their career. It happens. You know?
I like Joe. I hope he does what he wants. But the stark contrast between the way the shit he was saying about BJ Penn recently versus what he was saying about Joe, it just
doesn't
I wanted
make any
to mention
sense.
It. It was just like.
Well, going from a guy who's at the end of his UFC career, let's talk about a guy who's just started his UFC career. Daron Wynn lost his first fight the other night. To the dentist.
He's down. No, this is down to 185, right?
Yeah, he missed weight too.
Yeah, missed weight by 2.5 pounds. It usually favors. I mean, usually the guys that miss weight.
Well, it was a close fight. Don't get me wrong. It was not. It was not a fight that he was losing like bad whatsoever. It was back and forth. It was a lot of grappling by Wynn, and a lot of cage work by Stewart to keep him off him, and. Wynn was in the fight the whole time, but Stewart was just a little bit more crisp. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there was a few times where he was trying to get him, take him down on the cage, and Stewart was just hitting him with these nasty elbows. Just disgusting. But then the thing is, like, he'd hit him with the nasty elbows, so then Wynn would chain wrestle to a single and take him down. So it's like, who do you give the point there to as a judge? You know what I mean? You're like, who really did more there? You know, so it was like a lot of wrestling and some solid striking on Wynn's side to like some great striking and some not so great wrestling on Stewart's side. But the strikes were so effective, it got Stewart the win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Wynn got into some peculiar situations as well. You could tell he's a little green in the striking, but he's a classic wrestling striker, dude. He's, you know, he's keeps it close to him. He hits that fucking that short jab with the big overhand after it. Like, that's right. His striking, you know.
He's fighting out of AKA DC.
It's very similar to how DC is. Yeah, you know?
Exactly.
So,
well, I think he'll rebound.
Yeah, for sure. Pretty easily. I think he just needs to get his weight under control, though.
For sure.
Because he's just like DC. He's, you know, he's a little, he's fucking like a tank.
But he was on, originally he was at 205, which he's just too short for 205. Like, what is
he's
he
like DC, like too he's short, like 2 inches shorter.
You can't be a light heavyweight and be 5'9".
I mean, you could be DC. Him and DC are like the same size. Like, they're the same person.
DC's not 5'9", though.
DC is very short.
He might be 5'10", but he's not 5'9".
They're dude. They're pretty close. I've seen them stand side to side. They're pretty close in height.
Well, either way, I think he's going to rebound from this loss. I do, too. All right.
He's a tough motherfucker. I think he's just gotten there with a guy in Darren Stewart who's just seasoned in the MMA game. He's been on the scene for a while, and he's won big fights. And
Danny Cromer's 5'11", so yeah, he's just a shade under 6 feet. All right, so.
Well, what's Darren Wynn?
I don't think there's going to be a Wikipedia page on Darren Wynn. But... No.
That's not how you spell it. It's W-I-N-N.
W-I-N-N, that's what I have.
What the fuck does that say?
That's a crack in my case.
Oh, it's like, what the fuck does that say?
Yeah, I got a broken cell phone case, everybody, or a screen.
Screen. But yeah, either way, I mean, he's going to be, I feel like, a similar career path to DC.
He's got a lot of potential, man. He's got skills, for sure. I don't think this loss derails his career at all. He does, you're right, he needs to learn some shit. He needs to get his weight under control. Yeah. Keep working on that striking. So.
We'll see with him. Well, let's move on to this weekend. We got UFC Singapore. It's not really much to talk about on this card, but we'll go ahead and talk a little bit about the main event. We got Ben Askren making his comeback versus Damian Maya. A real grappler's...
a grappler's extravaganza! Oh, that's funny. But no, for real, it is...
It's going to be a straight grappling match.
Dude, if you like grappling, that's a fucking great match.
This is going to be a benchmarker fight for where Ben Askren's at right now.
Too. Okay, I'm sorry. I found it up. Dude, Darren, he's even smaller than 5'9". He's 5'7", bro.
Makes sense.
He's 2 inches shorter than Conor. Like, you can't possibly fight at light heavyweight, man. Let's be honest. This dude could probably go down to fucking welter, for God's sake. He's like 3 inches smaller than me. God damn, he must be thick as fuck, dude. Jesus.
He must be.
Do you remember? We saw him at 205. That's fucking crazy.
Shit.
I mean, he came in and fought old boy.
Yeah, the dude who was a pro wrestler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so crazy. 5'7". Yeah, dog.
That's he classic. Could
possibly get in there with John Jones. Just stick his hand out. Oh, Lord. Anyways, the kid's got a lot of potential, though.
Yeah.
For sure. But yeah, all right. Ben Askren, Damian Maya, tons of fucking grappling.
I think it's going to be all Ben.
You got the jiu-jitsu versus the wrestling, basically, yeah. Right?
It's going to be, yeah, I think Ben's going to win.
I think Ben's desperate for a win. Like, he can come out and say what he wants to say publicly, and he's saying all the right things, but you know he'd like nothing more than to come out and fucking win emphatically.
Well, like, here's the dominate. Thing. It's going to be a benchmarker because here's the thing. You had Tyron dominate Maya. You had Colby dominate Maya. You had Usman dominate Maya. So if you're Ben Askren and you want to get right back into that title picture, you got to beat up Damian Maya in very fashion. Yeah. And you put yourself right back in it.
I mean, what if he comes out and barely squeaks out some split decision victory?
It's going to look like he's old and he's not what he was in ONE FC and he should retire.
I mean, it'll hit him almost as bad as a loss, won't it? It'll be a slightly better.
I mean, not if it's like...
Okay, that's an exaggeration.
Probably. Like, if he just goes out there and wins 30-27, Or no, what is it? A 5-round fight. So if he wins 50-45, then we won't hear shit about it. If he just goes out there and grapples him for 5 rounds,
he's got to show something special. Something's got to pop in that fight for Ben Askren.
Yeah, right? Sort of though, because like there's not really many people in the division right now that are on. That aren't like, that have fights pretty much. Honestly, like everyone's like, you know, the top four. Everyone's waiting for these fights to happen. The Masvidal, Diaz, and then now we got the Colby and Usman fight. Once those fights happen, we can see where everyone's at. These are all like, these fights just have to happen. Like, we don't really know. Maybe he fights Leon Edwards next. You know, like there's God, other fights that Ben man could have. All this, isn't he? Exactly.
Poor like Leon Edwards. Yeah. Nobody fucking talked. Exactly. I wasn't even thinking about it.
And don't forget, also, Tyron Woodley's in there, too. So what if Tyron Woodley ends up fighting Leon Edwards?
Then, you know, that could happen.
Yeah, and then Ben maybe fights like a Santiago Ponzinibbio or someone like that. Like, there's people that are still on the table if Ben goes in there and doesn't, and he just grapples the shit out of them. There's still fights on the table.
Damn, that Monster Cookie is just super flavorful, man. Really like that weed. And I can say the same about the Jack. It's just, I've smoked Jack all the time. Like, I don't...
Drink Jack, smoke Jack.
I drink that proper 12, man. Oh, God. Actually, I still got that bottle from about it.
Speaking of proper 12...
Yeah, there's not much else on the Singapore card to really dive into. But
speaking of proper 12, Mr. Proper 12 himself, Conor McGregor, has been in the news recently about possibly fighting Frankie Edgar in December, which
Dana White had an interesting exchange on Frankie's birthday, right?
Yeah, he said, happy birthday, old man. Now I'm going to whoop your ass in December.
Yeah, Frankie was like, cool, I'm down with it.
Yeah, he said, I'm
Conor
down.
Conor was like, cool.
Well, he goes, my purse of charity. Well, he goes... I already signed the bout agreement. It's on you now. And then Connor said, I'm going to sign it too, and you can donate my purse to charity at Dana White. Get it done. And then Dana White comes out and says, there's no way that's ever going to happen. Frankie's moving down or whatever.
And yeah.
Pretty much just like shot it completely down and was like, Connor needs to fight. So, I don't know. He just like, you know.
Says something about Connor fighting next year. But then he comes out and says something else about Connor, too.
And then he said Connor isn't the man anymore, and he needs to understand that. And then Connor comes out and said, you can suck my balls. I'm the man. I'm always the man. You had that bullshit scrap in the dust out there in Saudi Arabia that sold 0 pay-per-views. You know if you want to make money. You know who to call.
Now, so... Dana comes out and shits all over the fight, and then he shits on Connor.
And then Connor shits on him back on Twitter.
So some the popular thinking from maybe people hearing that might be, well, I guess that fight ain't happening. But I beg to differ.
Dana White, yeah.
If you're a hardcore MMA fan and you know Dana White, I would say that those two things, him saying never, Frankie's going down, and Connor's not the man, means that we're getting that Edgar fight here soon.
Or something bigger.
The Conor Edgar fight is coming.
Yeah. Or Dana something bigger.
With his shitting all over everything. Because that's basically what he does.
Dana tend to shit on a lot of people this week on that press conference, including Colby Covington as well.
He did. Somebody asked Colby, I think it was on Submission Radio, if they let Dana put the belt around him, and Colby being Colby was like, nah.
I'll smack the shit out of him.
If he tries, I'm going to smack him upside his head.
Yeah. And then Dana came out and said, Colby needs to shut his fucking mouth.
And also, he's an idiot. Big fucking idiot. He needs to shut his mouth.
Yeah.
Which I also think is probably Dana speak for, I love it, you should do more of that. But nah, I could be wrong
Dana's,
with that one.
Dana looked
I could
pretty
be wrong
upset
with that
with
one.
It. Like, if you watch the video...
Yeah, he
didn't.
He didn't look too
pleased.
His face gets
all red, and he was just like, "Well, fuck that guy."
Lucky that bout signed.
Yeah, right.
I don't know, but you know, Dana's got a history of saying fights aren't going to happen, and then immediately making those fights happen. It's almost like he wants to downplay it so that he has some element of surprise when the fight is announced. I mean, he's done that repeatedly over the years, and anybody listening to us as a hardcore fan. This isn't fucking news to you. But any of you listening here, That's the way it goes if you're unaware of the ways of Dana White.
Yeah.
So I'd say if I had to put numbers on it, I'd say it's probably 70%.
Or get that what point. If there? This is what possibly happens. What if Conor McGregor happens to show up November 2nd at Madison Square Garden for the BMF title?
I think that would be front smart. Row. I think that's better than the Edgar fight, honestly. He doesn't have to cut weight. You can go up to 160, 165. Right? You want to bring that division in. I know it's at 170 for this. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see what we'll they weigh in at. What are they going to do? Nothing. There's nothing they can do if they don't make weight.
Well, they make both. Weight still. They still make weight because the weight's 170. But if they just happen to both come in at 165.
Yeah, then they're okay. There you go.
Who knows?
But anyways, yeah, I think that's the smarter play right there. But it'll be interesting.
What's up with Dana recently just like kind of hating on Conor? You know, he's talking about he's not the man no more. He said George was too big. George was too big for Conor. Like there's.
Do you remember after Diaz came back and just won his latest fight? Yeah. And immediately afterwards, they're like, what are your plans for Nate Diaz? And he goes, dude, Nate Diaz has no plans in our future whatsoever. And then like, what, a week later? 10 days later, we got the BMF fucking shit, dude. Like, we'll who's see. Headlining it at MSG? Oh, Diaz.
Or maybe they just happen to make an announcement right before the main event on November 2nd. And then Conor McGregor's sitting front row, and it says he's going to fight Frankie and him.
Yeah, they might just be waiting
and,
for that.
And
yeah.
Frankie and him are in New York City, where Frankie's from, front row.
They'll spend the whole time bigging up the feud between him and fucking Conor.
Well, there's right. no feud there. They I know, both respect
the,
each
the,
other.
The quote-unquote feud. Like, they'll talk shit on Twitter back and forth. Dana will keep saying it ain't happening. Frankie will keep being like, I'm right here.
Yeah, Frankie's wanted that fight. Remember, I remember when Conor fought for the interim belt and against Chad Mendez. And Frankie literally wanted to fight him so bad. He showed up to the press conference and was like, fight me instead of Aldo. You know Aldo's going to get back out anyways. And he wanted the fight.
Yeah.
So it's like, Frankie's just always been in the mix for that Conor fight. And I don't care, man. Let's see it. Fuck it.
Yeah, fuck it. I favor Conor in it.
I'm down with the fun fights.
Me too, man.
Like, there's certain fights that are like, or fuck it, man. Make Conor come back to 45. If you really want to, if Conor's really serious about fighting again and wants the title again, do it at 45. There's serious fights for him there, and he still is. If he feels like he can, I mean, what he fought his boxing match at 47 or something like that, didn't he?
Yeah, something like that.
So, we could be hella wrong on that, probably. But probably. I don't give a shit. My point is in his career, he's made 145, and if he wants, never he's serious, missed. maybe wants to make it back to the top, I think 145 pounds is not the worst idea in the world. You come in, you fight Frankie Edgar, then you go in, you fight Max Holloway in Hawaii.
That'd be dope. I like it. There's a lot of possibilities, but the one I'm least interested in is a Conor versus Khabib.
Yeah, I don't want to see that.
I'd rather see him do Edgar unless the BMF.
Justin Gaethje goes in and beats Khabib. I would like to see Justin Gaethje and Conor McGregor fight.
Yeah, I'd like to see that too. I'd prefer to see Justin get the
or if Khabib Conor fight. Doesn't cut any weight and just comes back, I'd like to see him fight Justin Gaethje still.
Yeah, me too.
I think that's a good fight. It's going to be the test of wills because Justin Gaethje will eat a lot of strikes in that fight, but can Conor put him on him as he could before in his career?
Yeah, can he get that hunger back? Who knows?
Yeah. He's back in the gym.
Yeah, that he is.
I've seen he's been posting. He's back in there.
His hand should be healed up by now. He's had that broken hand. Yeah. So.
He said he'd be good by November. So, if December, you know what I mean?
We could be getting that announcement. That's if Dana was going to announce
but here's the thing. There's really no holes in any of those cards still. They're just so close.
This is true.
Like, I could see Conor maybe coming back in, like, February.
Yeah, they might, but they'll announce it.
Oh, yeah, they'll announce it, in the upcoming months, for sure. Yeah,
for sure. That's what I think's going on with that.
Dude, it's crazy. We're 2 weeks away.
Front runner there.
We're 2 weeks away from the BMF title.
I know. Right after the Singapore card, right after that is the New York card with fucking MSG.
Yep.
Clearly, Nate Diaz versus Jorge Masvidal.
It's going to be
huge. Bad motherfucker title on the line, which is fun.
Is there any other title fights on that card?
Not that I'm aware of. There might be.
Oh, and then we got Kelvin Gastelum and Darren Till at the
Kelvin Gastelum and Darren Till is, I think, the co-main on that card.
Savage fight.
Who do you, has your opinion changed at all on the Nate Diaz?
No, I got Diaz still.
Yeah, I got Diaz still too.
I think Diaz is just going to grind it out. Maybe by TKO in like the fourth.
I was just going to say too, I wouldn't be surprised if it's the stoppage. I think Diaz is, he's smart, man. I think he knows that if he comes out here and emphatically fucking beat some ass, oh man, is he in the driver's seat of something special that he's wanted his whole fucking career. He's wanted to be the fucking man, but let's be honest, the reason he was the man in the Conor fights was A, because he won, but B, because Conor brings all the eyes.
Yeah.
Like, all his hardcores love Nate, but Conor brought all them eyeballs, and this is a chance for him to be, like, the shine, the fucking A-side in his next fight after this in a major way. Like a
major
fucking,
way, yeah.
Like, a Dana can say whatever, the one-time title, dude,
yeah.
No, that'll create a whole thing. Diaz running it, imagine. Oh, it'll be dope, dude. I really hope he wins.
Yeah,
nothing
too.
Against George. I love George Masvidal, man. He's a hell of a fucking fighter.
I think
he's a fighter.
Diaz's
fighter.
Time, though.
But yeah, Nate, who deserves a time more than Nate Diaz?
For real.
I think nobody. I mean, come into that superstar status, dude.
Yeah,
come out and
sure.
fucking be that
ass.
fucking dude. Right now in UFC, don't really have it. We got Israel, yeah. But I mean. Diaz
he'd
has
be
a
like,
name that already has
Diaz
weight,
has like a cult know. Following though.
Yeah,
like, you know,
exactly.
It's like
he's not new on the scene.
Yeah, he's been around. It's just like he's been just waiting, you know, for the right time to come back almost.
And he's got those 3 years off.
And
so kinda,
it's
kind of
like George. It's like same thing with George. Him and George are just so similar in like their style and their approach to how they promote themselves. And then also George, the same thing. He kind of went away from the welterweight division for what was that, a year and a half?
Mm-hmm.
Did that game show, let some things like go through and end up the way they did, and then came back, and now he's looking at literally a fight away from a title if he's able to put him out, you know? Oh, yeah, Corey Anderson, Johnny Walker on there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so we got Gastelum Till as the co-main. There's no titles. It's just the bad motherfucker title on the line.
All right.
And then third on the list, we got that Corey Anderson, Johnny Walker fight we were talking about.
Oh, dude,
earlier.
I forgot about that fucking Stephen Thompson,
dude,
Vicente
Stephen
Luque
Thompson
fight.
Versus Vicente Luque.
That should be a scrap.
Fight. You think Stephen Thompson can handle that kid?
Oh, wait, Derek Lewis is fighting on that card.
Yeah, that Blaganov.
He's Bulgoy Ivanov. Dude, my fucking roommate saw him at the bar two nights ago.
Lewis?
No, fucking
or
Bulgoy
Ivanov. Really?
Yeah, at the Martini.
Wow, that's a trip.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That is fucking crazy.
He's a fucking savage, though. That should be a great fight. What's the undercard on that? There's probably good fights on the undercard, too.
Back to Stephen Thompson. Do you think he can handle that fight? I think he might get his fucking ass kicked, dude. That dude's a warrior.
Yeah, Luque is a fucking savage.
Luque can come out there and put a mean, dirty scrap.
He might drop those elbows on him, bro.
Mean.
I don't know. I think it's going to come down to, I don't know. Luque is tough, man. And he's on
his
roll.
He's real tough, man.
He might win that fight.
Like, he's no joke.
But
yeah,
then
Stephen
Thompson is just so technical, is the thing. He's so technical. So it's like, go back to that one. Yeah.
He's real technical. He might be able to stay on the outside and pepper him up, but that dude can
just. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. I don't know if I like him in that fight.
Go
Steven,
back up.
I mean. We got Andre Arlovsky versus somebody I have no idea versus that guy.
Okay. Oh, what? That's on the undercard.
And then Kevin Lee
Kevin
versus
Lee,
that Gregor
Gillespie
fight.
That
which
is such a good
amazing.
Fight. That's a good fight, too. Shane Burgo versus Mark Warner.
Dude, how about this Brad Tavares versus Shabazzian?
That's a fucking scrap. Dude, this fucking card is so stacked. There's an other prelims, too.
Yeah, this card is super fucking stacked, man.
Oh, that's good. Oh, wait, go back to it.
That Shabazzian's turned me into a believer as well,
For
man.
Real.
Like, I didn't think he stood a chance. When I found out he was trained by Edmund Tabardian, I was like, this kid's going to come in here and get his ass kicked. And we've seen him, we've seen him fight in person. We've run into him in the casino. That's a fucking tall motherfucker.
He had Caitlin Jakugian's fighting Jennifer Maya. Then Lyman Good's fighting...
Chance Raconte, dude. He's a fucking good fighter, too.
He's the only one I don't know who they are.
Hakeem Dawoodu. I don't know how to say his last name.
I've seen him on a Contender Series.
Yeah, he's a Contender Series guy.
Yeah. Dude, this card is stacked. Holy shit.
Yeah, it's about time, because...
Yeah. And there's no title fights on it. That's what's sick about it.
Yeah.
It's like, God, these are all just fun fights.
I hope it sets some kind of good numbers in the ESPN era so that the UFC is encouraged and shown that they can do this.
Yeah.
You can headline a card without
especially
a fucking
title fight. Especially the prelims, because there's some great prelim fights.
Yeah.
Man, that's November 2nd, yeah?
November 2nd, man.
Shit.
Word.
Well, I think that wraps up today's show.
It does, man. I'm excited about these fights coming on. I mean, next week will be good. I'm interested in the main event, but then...
We'll see what happens.
Dude, this Diaz-Masvidal... The whole card, especially that main event, I'm really excited.
Hell yeah.
Whoever wins that is going to, even if it's Masvidal, whoever wins that is going to be in what I think is the most interesting position that's been in the UFC in a while. Because, again, Dana says it's a one and done, but they're not going to stop referring to themselves as the baddest motherfucker. And then whoever their next fight is automatically, no matter what Dana says, automatically for that title, bro. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're not going to be like, oh no, that was just for that fight. Nah. I'm the baddest motherfucker now. Like, it's no one's been in this position before. It's fucking interesting, man.
Yeah.
I just, for the sake of the drama and the way it plays out, like I said, I hope it's Diaz. But even if it's Masvidal, it's going to be dope, dude.
Yeah.
Because he knows how to play the game too. He's been around a long time too, and he deserves a chance to fucking blow up too. So,
yeah.
Very interesting, man. I'm excited, but. Yeah, that's the show today, folks. Thanks for tuning in.
Yep.
You can catch our show if you're brand new. You can catch us on Thursday nights, WBUZ 95 on radio.net or the Orange Radio app. We do 6 p.m. on the West Coast here in Vegas, 8 p.m. Central Time. Got tongue-tied there. 9 p.m. on the East Coast. You can get all the info at SWATMMA.com. Follow us on YouTube, Instagram, all that shit.
Yeah. Like, follow, subscribe, do all that shit. Head over there, grab a shirt, support the podcast.
Peace. Later, everybody.